Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and our conversation today is with Ida Castro, Chairwoman, U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Well, as Chairwoman, you've implemented an innovative agenda to increase fairness, quality, effectiveness, and efficiency of all aspects of the agency's operations. Could you tell us more about how you went about doing this?
Well, given the nomination and appointment process, Paul, that tends to be sometimes rather lengthy, I did have the good fortune of having about 9 months to think about what is it that I needed to do and focus upon once I arrived at the agency. And I really welcome, in a warped sense, I welcome the time because it did give me that opportunity to really plan out, identify what I thought would be the major challenges for the agency and begin to formulate a plan that would address those challenges, that would accomplish results, do so in a fair and swift manner, so that the experience of success for the staff itself could then re-energize them and re-energize actually me, so that we can continue to evolve and change the areas that really required attention. Let me backtrack a moment, because the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, although it's always had a very noble mission and a mission that's difficult to accomplish given the universe of need, had experienced a time of about 15 to 20 years almost where it was understaffed and under-resourced. And that long-time resource starvation had an incredible impact in the infrastructure of the agency as well as staff morale. So I also understood that was another layer of my challenge. So it's not coming up with ideas, but it's also making these ideas real for the people that really have survived, so to speak, a 20-year famine. And that tends to be pretty hard. I was helped immediately by the fact that I came in with an increase in our budget, a $37 million increase, which for EEOC was an enormous amount of money. However, given the need, it really, quite frankly, wasn't enough at the time. But our credibility was in question as an agency. We had been involved, as anyone that would have read the papers at the time, in a series of articles that really were extremely critical to the agency. And at the time, everyone thought about EEOC in terms of its backlog, in terms of it, the length of time it took to get to a charge and investigate cases 2-3 years before you even got an investigation. In other words, all of our customers were unhappy. All of our stakeholders were unhappy. And the primary question had to be, why is it that such an important agency with such an important mission has such a terrible reputation? And then work backwards and see what is it that we could correct immediately and what were the longer term projects. So in the immediate corrections, obviously the budget went a long way. We were able to expand our staff. We were able to improve on technology. When I arrived in 98 at EEOC, we couldn't even communicate through email. And people were complaining about, for example, quality of work, uniformity of decisions. Employers would raise this all the time. And how can I guarantee that one region does as the other one does when they can't even communicate? So clearly that was a big issue for us. So we were able to connect all of our offices, upgrade all of the computer technology, and therefore improve on our productivity while at the same time we're expanding the staff, we're training the staff. Our staff had not been trained in like 10 years. I mean, so how do you guarantee quality customer service and so forth and so on? And lastly, but not less importantly, we were able to once again refocus on our mission, clarify our mission, look at the way we were doing our work, and ask staff to really think through these processes and think them through, not just as staff members, but think them through from the eyes of all of our stakeholders, and advise me on how is it that we can address all of these processes so that we can accomplish several things. One and foremost, results. If we're here to identify discrimination, then how quickly can we do this? How well can we do this? And how strong can we do this in the sense that once we've identified discrimination, do we have everything in place so that we can follow up accordingly? Have we explored all of the tools available to us to resolve discrimination? I mean, once we identify the problem, then what are the mechanisms that we have at play to increase the resolution of these disputes? And then how is it that we strengthen our actual enforcement capability? And these were the three areas that I immediately focused upon. So we created a comprehensive enforcement approach. For the first time, believe it or not, Paul, we brought together our lawyers and our investigators, which had been bifurcated for the history of our commission. We have them working early on the charges so that we can identify priority charges from the beginning. We established a national mediation program, which has been a total success throughout the country. And that national mediation program allowed us to take an enormous amount of charges, refer them at the outset without any government investment in investigation and resources, right at the entry point. Just refer them to a qualified mediator in the hopes that it could get resolved without the need of governmental intervention. I'm happy to say that that program has been up and running for about 18 months now, and in 18 months alone, we've already successfully resolved more than 13,000 charges. Successful resolution means that the parties came together, came to an agreement. It's voluntary, and it's free to the parties, by the way. It's a great deal. But they come together with a qualified mediator. They discuss the dispute within 10, 15 days of the charge being proffered, and they tailor make their own resolution. It's a voluntary agreement. We don't get involved. If they agreed that this is the way to resolve the dispute, then fine, we just sign it. On average, it takes about 3 months, only 3 months, from point one to end of process. And that is definitely a major success for us, because I know that those that thought it would take 5 years to get anything done in EEOC are pleasantly surprised to see that we can actually resolve charges in less than 3 months. That's a major milestone for our agency. In addition to that, we strengthened our litigation program. Our litigation program had been unfocused at times. The policy that whatever cause we found in our enforcement side had to be litigated regardless of the strength of the case, I thought was also a misapplied policy that was very cumbersome and did not allow us to prioritize our own cases and invest the taxpayers' dollars where we would get the greatest mileage, so to speak. And mileage really doesn't mean money. Mileage really means, where is it that we can clarify the laws? Where is it that we can clarify the parameters of behavior that's acceptable within the laws? And how is it that we can benefit both the employer community and the employees that we're intended to protect? So all of these questions need to be brought to bear, and we need a program that will get us to that end game.
Well, it's time for a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with more of the Business of Government Hour and our conversation with Ida Castro, Chairwoman of the U.S. EEOC.